We're in number six of firm foundations. How firm is your foundation? Solid? Kind of like solid until the next windstorm comes? Solid until the next rainy season? If we're grounded in the Word of God and Jesus Christ as our foundation, in our partnership with Him, and if we're grounded with the Holy Spirit, and if we're grounded today, we're going to talk about prayer. Prayer should be part of our foundation, our communication to God, how we speak and address Him. Hopefully, you're in prayer daily, and prayer is like a huge subject. I once taught a whole week on this at a class I was teaching, and there wasn't enough hours in the week to teach all there is to teach about prayer. So just know that we're scratching the surface of prayer today, and we're just going to go. Hope that didn't hurt anyone's ears. But Jesus models prayer for us in the book of Matthew. Jesus kind of gives us, his disciples, well, how do we pray? How do we know what to pray? How do we know what to say? But for me, I simply say it's like talking to me. It can be as simple as that. Say, hey, God, I'm having a bad day. I need your help. What do you need? He says, come to him with our requests, our petitions, our needs, our wants, our wishes. It's not like a vending machine. You don't just send a prayer and, oh, out pops the candy bar. But he invites us to come and talk to him, which to me is amazing. The God of all creation invites me to come talk to him. It says, come. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 15, Jesus' disciples are asking him, how do we pray? What do we say? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Of course, red letters here, Jesus speaking. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And some manuscripts go on to say the last piece of that verse, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's like, it's this simple, guys. So how do we pray? First of all, who are we praying to? Do you ever have people say, I'll pray for you, and you're like, please don't, because they're not praying to God? Or I'll send my good thoughts for you. It's like, that's nice, but is there much power in my thoughts? I believe in positive thinking, but I don't believe it can help you that much. I do believe in praying to a holy God, creator of heaven and earth, and that my prayers are powerful and effective when I pray in Jesus' name. So Jesus starts, our Father in heaven. We know who we're addressing, our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. He says, God, you're holy, Father. We know who we're addressing in prayer. Second part of that in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done. Like, we have a lot of wants and wishes, but God, above all else, your kingdom, your will. Like, this is what I want, but God, if that's not in alignment with your will over mine. Like, these things would be fantastic. It would be fantastic if the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl today. But the Chiefs prayed harder. I don't know if God gets involved at all with any of that. But just some Super Bowl humor, just because it's Super Bowl Sunday. And John and Becky are going to find out, you know, who's saved and who's not when their life group. No. I'm just joking. You can watch the Super Bowl and still be saved. You can even cheer for the Cowboys and be saved. That's just for Pastor Kelly when he listens, and Bear. But much bigger than that, God wants us to invite him into our lives, into our decisions, into our everyday practices. He wants to hear from us. He wants to commune with us. This should be a daily communing with the Lord. Say, man, God, I woke up on the right side of the bed. I'm feeling good today. Help me not to mess it up. Help me to honor and glorify you in all that I do today. It can be as simple as that when we awake. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. What do you need today? Jesus said to ask God for it. God, give me what I need to get through today. God, I need your peace. God, I need your strength. God, I need your forgiveness. God, I need your love. God, I need your compassion. God, I need... What are you dealing with? What do you know that's in your day? There are the unforeseen things. But God, this is what I need to get through today. God, I'm full of doubt. I'm full of fear. I'm full of anxiety. God, I need your peace. What do you need? Make your request known to him and do it daily. God, I need this today. Like, let's not worry about next month because it might not show up for us, some of us. But what do I need today? Keep it simple. You can pray big prayers. I believe in praying big prayers and generational prayers for those to come beyond us. But it can be as simple as, God, like, this is the bread I need to get through the day. Give me your what? You fill in the blank as you pray. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness should be part of your prayer. Giving and receiving. God, forgive me. God, forgive those who sin against me. God, forgive me who sins against you. Forgiveness should be part of our prayers as we pray. Repentance should be part of our prayers. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I believe God is always willing to lead us. But sometimes we're a little rebellious and we don't follow well. Then God, lead me, or God, humble me so that I will follow you where you lead. That might be a better way to pray that. But it's asking God to take control, take the reins of your life, of your daily steps, of where you're going, what you're doing. Say, God, lead me away from temptation. God, lead me. Deliver me. I don't want to be led astray. I don't want to sin against you. And last, that verse in the NIV is not there, but some manuscripts do have it. Just give an acknowledgement to God. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Forever and ever, amen. Saying, God, it all belongs to you. God, I'm just honored to be a part of it. I'm going to acknowledge you as my everything at the end of my prayer. And of course, we pray in Jesus' name because there's power in Jesus' name. There's other passages that Jesus tells us, ask in my name. Like, you can pray a really good prayer and say, in R.B. Shown's name. And like, it's just a good sentence, maybe. But when you pray in Jesus' name, there's power and authority attached to it. Jesus Christ, who overcame death, hell, and the grave. When you attach his name to it, it has power, it has meaning, it has authority. And all hell will tremble. Pray in Jesus' name. Some other examples of Jesus in his prayer life. John 6, verse 11. John chapter 6, verse 11. I love the simplicity of Jesus' prayers because they're like something I can grasp. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. So in this passage, Jesus is teaching and this crowd assembles, and pretty soon it gets bigger and bigger, and pretty soon there's 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And pretty soon his disciples are like, oh, how are we going to feed everyone? Everyone's getting hungry, and it's, you know, it's time to eat, and we have no food. And this little boy says, well, like, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, is that enough? I have my lunchbox packed. Hopefully it was all gluten-free. You know, it was pretty minimal menu there. And Jesus says, well, what do we have? And one of his disciples is like, well, it would cost a lot of wages, half a year's wages to feed all these people. Like, we can't do that. Had some fear, had some doubt. One of his disciples had a little more courage and says, well, we found this kid with a lunchbox. He at least brought something for Jesus to work with, a little bit of faith. Jesus said, bring him to me. And what does he do? He gives thanks. And it doesn't elaborate. Was it a 10-minute thankful prayer? Was it, thank you, Lord, now feed the people? I don't know. I believe it was pretty simple. It just says he gave thanks. Thank you, Lord, for what we have. And as they begin to distribute, these 5 loaves and these 2 fish fed the multitude. And if it was just like 1 woman per man and 1 child per couple, like you're looking at 15,000 people, which, you know, normally they had a lot more kids than that. But it fed them all. And then when they're done, they pick up basketfuls left over of the scraps that have fallen to the ground. When we put our faith into action in prayer, miracles begin to happen in Jesus' name. Not of my own, but of his. Not because of what I can do. I'm just applying my faith and my words to the situation. Then allowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit to take over. Excuse me. Prayers release miracles. That's why it's important for us to pray. Stay faithful in prayer. I have prayed prayers and watched miracles happen. And I have prayed prayers and thought I was going to watch miracles happen. And nothing happened in the moment. Some of them took years to happen. As we were pregnant with our children, we would pray over them in the womb. And of course, you don't see immediate effects. But now we're 20 years down the road going, yes, you can see the effects of our prayers from 20 years ago taking place in the lives of our children. And saying, I see that character trait. I see that attribute. We prayed for that specifically over you when you were in the womb. You should pray for your children before they're born. You should pray for your grandchildren before they're born. I read this quote once. Said, even after we are long dead and gone, the prayers we released are still echoing in the throne room of God. So pray prayers you want to last an eternity in the throne room of God. Pray bold prayers. Pray big prayers. Pray prayers that will matter when you're dead and gone. Pray for the generations to come beyond you. Prayer is really small and really big all at the same time. Luke chapter 22, Jesus in the garden. Luke 22, 39 through 42. Of course, this is Jesus going to the garden just before the arrest and the crucifixion. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And I think I read too far, but that's wonderful also. Do you see some similarities with this one in the passage in Matthew chapter 6? Pray so you don't fall into temptation. God, your will be done and not mine. Jesus in this moment is getting ready to face the unthinkable, a crucifixion, a beating so brutal that he was unrecognizable after it. When Jesus is going to God, it starts out in verse 39. He went there as usual. This was a habit for him to go early in the morning and go into prayer. How many of you know if Jesus needed to pray, I really need to pray? If Jesus is going to prayer daily, you and I should model that and understand that we need prayer daily so that we don't fall into temptation, so that we don't succumb to the enemy's schemes and tactics and traps and snares that he sets before us. Because if he can't steal your soul, he wants to steal your joy. If he can't steal your soul, he wants to steal your happiness, your peace, your love, your forgiveness. He wants to steal your ministry. He wants to steal the future God has in store for you. He wants to steal your destiny. He wants to stop you from reaching the people God has set in your path for you to reach and minister to in love and compassion. So daily go to prayer. Say, Father, help me not fall into temptation. Father, help me to do your will and not my own. Daily. It was a habit for Jesus. He was teaching others to pray. He was taking people along with him, as we saw him often do in the scriptures. He was always teaching and training and developing his disciples. Remember to teach others as you pray. As a pastor, I'm usually the guy in the room that everybody goes, you pray. Like, you guys can pray just as good as I can. God hears your voice just as good as he hears mine. We might use different words, but your prayers are powerful and effective as well. I don't have a special prayer anointing because I'm a pastor. Like, my prayer is because I spend time in prayer. Your prayer gets better when you spend time in prayer as you begin to grow and develop your prayers. Get alone, remove the distractions. Jesus brought them with him and then went a little ways away and got alone. Sometimes you just need to get alone, remove all the distractions. Say, God, I just want to hear your voice. I want to sit at your feet. I want to be still before you. I want to talk to you one-on-one. You have to shut off the distractions. That's why I go out in the woods for my walk with God. So my phone doesn't work. I usually don't run into people out there in the places I go. And I get to get alone with them, and I can put out all the distractions. Make your request, but be okay with God's will. Jesus in the garden there, he said, I don't know how much Jesus knew of what was going to take place. He knew he was bearing the weight of the world. He knew it was painful, and he was in anguish, and he was in such deep prayer that he began to sweat drops of blood. I mean, he knew it was not good what he was up against. He at least knew that. But he says, Father, if this cup can pass, let it be. But not my will, but yours be done. God tells us to make our request of him. But then in the end, we have to be okay with God's will. We have to be okay with what he's doing and working on. Because if he had answered Jesus' request in that moment, where would you and I be? Lost. Yeah, we would be adhering to the Levitical priesthood, and you all would have brought your doves and grain and sheep, cows. We'd be making sacrifice today. But thank God for Jesus. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Be okay with God's will in your life when it doesn't align with your plans. It's not always easy. It's not always the route we want to take, but it is the best route. Luke 23, verse 34. Just turning over a page there. Jesus now, after the beating and the judging, they release this bad guy Barabbas and say, we'd rather crucify Jesus. And he's now hanging on the cross between two criminals. Verse 34, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus, even while hanging on the cross, being mocked, being tortured, he's still praying prayers of intercession for those around him. Intercessory prayer is powerful. And it's not for you, it's for someone else. Jesus models it very well. Even when he's going through this painful, torturous time, he still says, I want to pray for them. Because without salvation, they only have hell to look forward to for eternity. Father, forgive them. Give even my accusers, give even my attackers a chance to know you, to get to eternal life. What a powerful prayer of intercession. Can you pray for your accusers? Can you pray for your abusers? Can you pray for your mockers? Can you pray for those who strike against you and wish you harm and evil? Can you say, Father, forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. God, give them opportunity to know you as their Lord and Savior. That's what Jesus modeled for us in intercession. Some ways that we can prepare for prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Oops. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Those are fine. I can get them after service. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. If my people who are called by my name will first humble themselves. Do you know you have to come to God humbly in prayer? You have to humble yourselves. That's part of saying, not my will, but yours be done. Pray and seek. Turn from your wickedness. God will hear you. God will forgive you. God will heal. We've got some work to do on our part. James chapter 5, verse 16, some more preparation for prayer. James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Confess your sins. Boy, when we're in sin, God doesn't hear our prayers. The only prayer he hears is our prayer of repentance. When we're not living right before God, our prayers are not powerful. They're not effective. But the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. How do we get righteous? We be in right standing with God. We ask for forgiveness. We repent. Say, Father, I'm in sin. I've sinned against you. I've laid it out. God, this is what I've done. I'm acknowledging it. Will you please forgive me? Because I want to be in right standing with you so my prayers are powerful and effective. And then his healing can flow. So we have to be righteous before God to have powerful and effective prayers. A little more on prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It's one of my favorite four verses in the Bible right here. We're just going to look at 6 and 7, although. So you should read the rest around it on your own. That's homework. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anybody else have anxiety? Anybody else stress out about pieces of life? You can put two hands up if you want. There you go. Life can be stressful. And if we let it, it can well and build and make us literally crazy. Anxiety's real. But what does the Word of God say? Do not be anxious about anything. Ooh, that's a lot easier to read than live out. Right? But if the Word of God says it, then what does it tell us to do? But in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. God, I'm stressing out. I spent some time on my walk with God living out this verse this week because I was stressing out over some things. And I was getting anxious. And I was not doing what the Word tells me to do. I was doing the opposite. And I had to sit and get alone with God and say, God, I'm going crazy here. I need your peace. How do we get that peace? In every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then his peace, which transcends our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Man, I need that. I need my heart guarded. I need my mind guarded. There's a recipe of how to do that. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is powerful and effective when we live righteously before God. And it's a pretty simple recipe. And that whole passage, verse 4 through 8, 9, it's just powerful. If we could just live that passage, we'd be a lot better. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I don't know what the will of God is. I just want to do his will. How about start right there? Like when you master that, then move on to the next step. Anybody in here have that mastered? Okay, a bunch of honest people came to church today. Wonderful. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. I'm not there yet. Like, I just want to live out these three verses. I want to master those. Now, I rejoice a lot more than I used to. I give thanks a lot more than I used to. In a lot more situations and circumstances that are hard and difficult than I used to. It doesn't take me having to get my will and my way to give thanks and rejoice. But it used to. If things didn't go my way, it wasn't worth rejoicing. So there should be progress in our lives. We should get closer to that. But if you're ever stuck in a day and just, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Start here. Rejoice always. Pray continually. I mean, if nothing else, just pray. Just start praying. Start in your home. Start working around your neighborhood. Start working around your community. Start working around the valley. Start working around the country. Start working around the world. I mean, there is so much to pray for in the world. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. We're going to do a little bit of, I know some people don't like this, but I really felt prompted to do it. So if you don't want to get involved, just stay in your seat and hang out. Pray from your seat. But if you have a prayer need this morning, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand. And if you don't have your hand up and somebody near you does, I want you to get up and go lay hands on that individual and pray for them. And if you want to share your prayer requests with those coming to pray for you, great. If not, just intercede for them and pray over them. God, you know what's going on in their life. God, you know their request and their petition to you. God, and this is just going to take a few minutes. We don't have to have big, long, lengthy prayers for hours. And I will pray from up here. But if you would be willing to say, I have a prayer, and we're going to have the prayer team at the end of service, so if you don't want to get involved in this activity in the middle of this church, you don't have to. But if you would say, I want prayer, I would like some people to come pray for me and my needs, would you put your hand up? Got some hands up. And if you don't have your hand up and you're willing to, if you would go pray for these individuals. This is what we, the church, are supposed to be about and doing, praying for one another. I think that's covering everyone with hands up. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. God, that even before we speak it, God, you know it. God, you know what our needs are. You know what our requests are. But God, you want to hear from us. And God, I just thank you for those today who boldly, God, would raise their hands and say, I need prayer. I would like my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus to pray over me, God. And I just ask that you would meet their needs, God, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, I ask that you would, God, touch them from your throne room, from your storehouse. God of miracles. God, whatever they are requesting, God, that you would begin, God, mending those bridges, mending those fences and relationships, Lord God, that you would begin bringing physical healings to their bodies, Lord God. God, that you would bring restoration. God, where there has been hurt and pain and decay. And God, I just ask right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that your miracle working power would be released over them by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, it would be pretty bad to talk about prayer and then not allow you an opportunity to pray, right? I think it would be. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we'll get to a few of the other folder items we have. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you do see us. God, you meet us where we are at. God, we don't have to get anywhere to request or call on your name, but God, we can call on you wherever we are. God, whatever situation we find ourselves in, God, you are near. And Father, we just thank you for that privilege, God, that opportunity. And Father, I just ask that you would, God, stir in our hearts, God, a hunger, a thirst, God, to grow and develop our prayer lives, God, to spend more time communing with you, God, just in conversation, God, in intercession, in requests and petition, God, in thanksgiving of just who you are. And Father, we thank you, God, for igniting this fire inside of us. God, a longing to spend time in your presence in prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.